I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It was 105 irons in a row, full Ironmans.
You've got 17 hours to do it. Once you start, you've got 17 hours. If you don't make it, that's game over. There's no averaging, there's no rest days, there's nothing. So you really are in the red all the time because there's no recovery days.
Sean Conway!
I'm Sean Conway, and I've spent the last 12 years pushing my mind and body beyond what most people thought was possible. But my life wasn't always this way. I used to actually be a school portrait photographer. I spent 10 years chasing that wrong dream. Nothing excited me, nothing challenged me. I was living in sort of autopilot. So I sold my business for a quid. So with a pound to my name, I decided to try and become an ultra endurance athlete.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Obviously, it's an absolute honor to have you on. I've delved into your journey and I was blown away, to be honest. And I just thought it would be a really powerful podcast to share with our audience and gauge some of the wisdom and learnings and insights from your experiences. But before we dive into all that, let's start with a little bit of a background into who you are, what you do and why.
I've led three different lives. I could do a whole podcast on that, to be honest. I grew up in Africa. I was born in Zimbabwe, grew up in South Africa. My first life, as I call it now, was a school portrait photographer. So I did that until I was 30 and then just realized I hated it. So just doing something I hated for money, really. Now, of course, you need some money to survive on this planet, but when 98% of your day is something you don't like, you need to start questioning those things, I think. And then now my second life, I guess, originally started off as what people think of as an adventurer. Although I cringe at that. And now I think it's probably more ultra endurance athlete who does adventure-y type of record. Yeah, I really don't know what I do. I do know what I do. I just try and break records.
So talking of records, one of the things that drew me to having this conversation was the 105 iron distance triathlons in 105 days. Let's start with the story. Let's start there.
There's four types of records, genres or endurance records you can go for. You can do a world's first, so you become the first to do something. You can do the longest of something, so you could the longest triathlon, for example, or you can do the fastest. That's quite a common one. You can be the fastest person to do something. And then the last one is you can do the most of something, so most consecutive of whatever. And there's tons of those. There's the run streak, the half marathon, the marathon, triathlon, sprint triathlon, full iron triathlon. And yeah, I wanted to go for the record for the full iron triathlon, which I think is even longer than all the other triathlon records. I think the sprint distance one is shorter than five even. And I think that's also similar for the marathon and the half marathon. Although someone's done 1,000 or on their way to doing 1,000 half marathons. Helen River is on about 700 already for half marathons here in North Wales. That's pretty amazing. So anyway, that's what I do. I try and break records. And the Iron 105 was the record of the four I didn't have. So I was the first person to swim the length of Britain, the fastest person to cycle across Europe unsupported, and I had the world's longest triathlon record at one point. It just seemed the next one to go for was the most of something because I didn't have that one. And an Ironman, I feel like it had my name written all over it. The internet disagreed with me, but that's another story.
In respect to the background, had you done many triathlons and stuff before you started this process? Because I've heard you talk about mindset in respect to you have a dual mindset, that of a terrier and also of a monkey, and that's a driving force. But maybe let's get a little bit more of an insight into what those are, how that drives you, and how it led you to the pathway you lead today.
I only discovered the mindset thing a couple of years ago, really, where I had these two distinct characters. I was on the Rich Roll podcast, and we dived deep into this sort of stuff. And after that podcast, I had 20 emails from therapists saying, I think you need some help, mate. And then one email says, mate, I don't want to be rude, but I think you're suffering from ADHD. And I felt like replying saying, I don't think I'm suffering at all. I think it's great. If I do have it, I think it's great. Life's good, and I'm doing stuff I never dreamt I could do physically and mentally. And I'm putting food on the table for my kids. So life is good. I train a lot. I spend lots of time outside and forests and things and training and all that. Yeah, I don't think I'm suffering from anything, truthfully. But I did work out that I do have these tendencies or these sort of needs. And I call them a monkey and a terrier, these animals that need feeding. And I just put an animal to it because it's nice and it's easier to understand. Now, my monkey is, you know, inquisitive and likes to try loads of different things. I don't have to do one thing. I have tons of hobbies and I love it. That's why I've never stuck to one sport. I've always tried to do lots of different sports and I enjoy it. But then, and I did notice in my 20s, I would get quite agitated about with things unless I had something big to work towards. And that's when I, in hindsight, looking back, I had this terrier in me which needed feeding and I didn't feed him in my 20s. And then that led to me just getting frustrated and agitated and just didn't enjoy what I was doing. So unfortunately for me, the only thing that really feeds that terrier is doing these really long, difficult challenges and world records. I wish the terrier got fed on sitting and watching Netflix or something, but he unfortunately doesn't. I can't change that, although 20 therapists think I probably can change that, but I don't know if I want it changed. But the terror just needs to chase things, whatever, and the best satisfaction he gets is when he chases these long physical world records. And I'm glad I worked that out, because now it's quite easy, and I know when the terrier's hungry again, he's fine now. And I'm doing little stuff here and there, and that's satisfying the monkey as well, and keeping the terrier happy. But I know that in a couple of years' time, he'll probably want to do something big again. And that's fine. I've got ideas. I'm working towards them already. So, yeah, that's how I work things out in my head when to do things.
One of the things that came across to me when I was diving into your story is that of just the lack of fear and the need to take action. So when I was looking at it, one of the things that astounded me was the fact that when you took on the swim, for example, from Land's End to John O'Groats, that you'd swam a maximum at the time at about 3 miles in a pool, and then you ended up taking that absolute monster on. And that's the thing that really drew me to your story. A lot of people, especially in the world that we live in today, they're limited by fear, but you're the polar opposite to that. You want to chase things and you want to take down some of these audacious goals. So, yeah, I just want to dive into the realities of the mindset of what drives you beyond simply the desire to chase, but the desire to remain consistent.
Yeah. So the swim as an example, there's another famous saying, which is be naive enough to start and stubborn enough to finish. So there's a lot of naivety. Well, sort of, I knew what I was getting into with the swim. I definitely knew what I was getting into. So I didn't go into it completely naive. I wish I had trained a bit more, truthfully. I just wasn't as efficient and I was slow. I probably would have done that swim a month quicker had I just actually had a decent technique. My fitness was okay and my shoulder strength was okay, but my technique was bad. So that is a regret because I spent a month longer in the freezing cold than I needed to. However, there was no time limit really on that swim other than the onset of winter. That was the big worry. So I knew I could afford to go into it a little bit underprepared on the fitness side, because I knew I'd get fit while I was doing it. And I did. I got fairly good by the end, but I was also fatigued and cold and underweight. So that was difficult. Yeah, I would much rather fail at something that I feel is a worthy challenge than lower my bar just to succeed at something easier, which is what I did in photography. When I didn't get those big National Geographic jobs, I settled for an easier job and then an easier one and then an easier one and then an easier one. And then all of a sudden, 10 years later, I'm photographing crying babies. Yeah, so there is that side of me where I'm happy just to have a crack at it and I don't care if I fail. And don't get me wrong, when I do fail at stuff, which I failed a lot, if you go on my website, there's a whole web page on the hiccups. it doesn't feel great. I'm not there going, oh, that's great, because mostly I've then wasted my time and a lot of other people's time. Whenever I fail something, especially nowadays, it costs me quite a lot of money as well, which is not the fun side to talk about. When I failed that first attempt at the Ironmans, that was, yeah, that was a lot of money. So I had to go out, and because I paid a lot of it up front and I paid the crew up front and all that sort of thing. It was my risk, really, and it didn't work out. So yeah, it's not fun failing. And of course, I go into some reflection and I think back on it, but it never stops me trying to have a crack at it. I'd rather have a crack and fail than not have a crack at all. Because you're never going to, especially the stuff I do now, is you're never going to be prepared for it, ever. It's impossible to prepare for 105 full irons. You can get pretty close, but really it's going to be horrible and miserable. So you might as well just go for it, really. So yeah, I don't overthink it, but you've still got to do the right groundwork, which is something I fail at a lot. I go into it a little bit too confident, I think, sometimes, because I'm leaning on my back history and my experience a little bit too much, and then I get injured. Yeah. That's my downfall. I go into stuff a little bit underprepared, but I'm getting better at that sort of thing.
I guess the whole premise of failure, it limits so many people to pushing the boundaries and seeing what they're really truly capable of. And it's evident from your website, failure is a key part of the journey that you've been through, but we learn so much from these experiences.
Yeah, totally. Although some would argue that the stuff I do is not worth pushing for. But it feeds my terrier, so it's a personal thing for me. I think most people, I think it's quite an easy philosophy to go, oh, people are too scared of failure, so they never start. Which I don't think is really true. I think it's true for some people, and I think maybe they just don't want it enough. But I think a lot of people are quite good at taking risks nowadays and going and trying to see if things happen. Yeah, I think the world's in a good place for that sort of thing. If you just look at the figures, people running ultra marathons is up. That's huge. It's all the hard stuff is getting way more popular, which means more people are deciding to take the risk and push themselves, which is awesome. That's great.
Do you think that's just evolved post the pandemic, where people had an opportunity to reflect upon their lives and think, is this it? And then wanting to challenge themselves a little bit more? Or do you think that it's just a natural progression?
I think there's a multiple of things, yeah. I think the pandemic just certainly made people realize the need to do more exercise, certainly then. Unfortunately, I think it's possibly reset back to the default for a lot of people, unfortunately. I'm 43. I naturally will encounter on a daily basis people around my age. And socialize online and things with people around my age, really. And most of the people who follow me are usually within 10 years either side of me. It's difficult to say what the whole world is doing. I don't know how much 20-year-olds are doing now at the moment. I think they're doing quite a lot, to be fair. I think people are seeing people like me and other people do these long, hard things, and that's making them go, ooh, oh, wow. I reckon if Sean can do 105 bloody full irons, I can do one. So I think there's that. I think social media helps. I think people are getting all mammals need to beat their chest. It's just mammalian. Peacocks grow feathers they don't need. There's a whole bunch of showy offy things that mammals need to do. And I think people are getting their chest beating from achieving these physical goals as well. So that gives them some social status, gives pub stories. And it's better than what we used to do as kids and just go to the pub and get pissed, right? That's what I did my entire 20s. Genuinely, yeah. Honestly, I did nothing in my 20s. It was such a waste. Whereas I don't think that's happening anymore. I think the youngsters aren't doing that nearly as much as we did it, which is great. And they're getting social status from doing good stuff for themselves and for the world. The boomers and us, the millennials, we messed up the world, I think. No. They're coming to fix it. So it's great. Yeah, I think it's all good. But yeah, I think so. Those are the reasons I think people are starting to do more stuff, I think.
Looking at the 105, let's dive into the story, how it started, what the day-to-day routine of it was, and I guess the physical and mental demands that took place. If you just want to walk over, yeah, the realities of it, because so many people will look at that as just an unattainable goal, an unattainable feat of human endurance. And I think the main part of it is the story that unfolds.
The 105 was a whole new level of hard compared to other stuff. As I said, the swim was miserable, but there was no time scale. And if I wanted to swim 1 mile on a day and then take the rest of the day off, I could have done that. As I said, the only real jeopardy there from a time point of view was the onset of winter in Scotland. So there was that. But still, there was no daily sort of finish line. It was 105 irons in a row, full Ironmans. You've got 17 hours to do it. Once you start, you've got 17 hours. If you don't make it, that's game over. There's no averaging. There's no rest days. There's nothing. So you really are in the red all the time because there's no recovery days. I just had to be bang on everything. And there's these 10.5 pillars of endurance that I focused on every single day. So one was planning, experience, conditioning or fitness, I call it. Then health. Then nutrition, hydration, recovery, which includes sleep, muscle management, mindset, community. And then the point five is luck. You need some luck. Every day, I'm trying to nail all of those 10 pillars. And usually if I nail all 10, you get the half one thrown in. The luck follows if you plan, if you do everything well. So yeah, doing 105, I think there's not many people in the world who could do it right now. I think there's a lot of people with the right training and experience could definitely break my record, 100%. Yeah, and I'm trying to encourage people to do that. And I'd also love to try and encourage a female record. I think 31 is what a female would need to do to get the overall female records. That's on my priority list at the moment. But yeah, you've got to nail all those. So you've got to micromanage everything. You know, you can't afford to get a blister because it'll never heal. Because you're in the pool every day. If you get a blister and it breaks skin properly, that's not healing. That's not healing for 3.5 months. You've got to really keep on top of everything. And your mind goes into two mindsets, really. One is when things are going well, then I can afford to relax and get into sort of a meditative state and just plod along. But I'm still really micromanaging things. But then when things are going badly, I'm trying to work it out. So I'm a bit not frantic in my head, but I'm really making calculations, lots of calculations. Why am I behind today? Why is my knee sore? Why am I slower? Why am I faster? Why do I feel good today? All these sort of things. But certainly when it's going bad, I'm like, my knee sore, right? Have I been on top of my hydration? Did I sleep badly last night? Did I stretch enough? Should I have had a physio yesterday? And all that. Are my shoes wearing out? Is the camber of the road, do I need to run on the other side of the path for a bit? All these sort of things. And that all just comes with experience. So yeah, it's all for me that my sort of my mindset mostly is doing lots and lots of calculations in my head all the time, really just to make sure that I'm nailing all of those 10 pillars. Because if I took my foot off the gas, even for a day, if I'm down 1,000 calories on food, then I'm slow tomorrow. If I'm down half an hour on sleep, then I'm slow tomorrow again, which makes me even slower. So I've really just got to think about everything all the time, really, which in itself is tiring. So even just the thinking and all the maths and all the things I have to do was exhausting on top of doing a full iron distance triathlon.
From a distance perspective, what was the thing that stopped you?
Yeah, there's a lot of considerations. I desperately wanted to carry on and I felt I could have carried on. However, I couldn't do that to my family. I have a wife and two young kids. Daddy needed to be home. Once I got the record, I got the record. And then also, I really have no interest in holding the record forever. So by adding more days, I'm just making it harder for the next person. And I don't really care about that at all. But I am, even truthfully sitting here, I knew I could have gone on and I wish I could have gone on. But I'm also glad I'm happy with finishing at 105 because I could get back to being a dad and doing all the things that my wife had to do while I was away. She was solo parenting for 3.5 months, which was really hard. And I didn't want to delay that for her as well because it was really tough. Yeah. So although I'm gutted because I knew I could have pushed on, I'm also happy that
you could have gone.
I think I could have just rolled it out indefinitely, if I'm honest. I think 200 in the UK is a number that people could aim for. More than 200 in the UK would be hard because of the weather and the road conditions. You don't have big, hard shoulders and big, long stretches and things like that. So I think if someone did more than 200, it'll be in America, I think. That would be my guess. Maybe Australia, but the road surfaces in Australia aren't amazing in some places. So I think someone will do it in America, definitely. And yeah, so I think I printed numbers up to 123. I could have definitely gone then. gone to that, maybe 150. That was, in my head, achievable. Saying that, though, I had picked up a couple of injuries towards the end of my hip, and they weren't getting better. My times weren't really getting slower either, but they were, I was hovering on this sort of precipice of potentially falling into a pretty serious injury, which luckily I avoided. But yeah, so you never know what could have happened on that side of things. But yeah, no, I think someone will do a year of them one day in America. Definitely two locations. I'll do a summer location in the south and a winter location in the north. So yeah, I can't wait. It might be me. If no one does that in 10 years, I'll have a crack at it when my kids are a bit older.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Talking about coming to an end and your wife had been solo parenting, I did read and see in certain places that your wife's also done like marathons and such before. So what, do you think the focus on the 31 days would potentially be in reach for your wife?
Yeah, oh, 100%. Yeah, we've talked about it. Our kids are too young. I think she wouldn't want to make that commitment while the kids are so young, I think, because our youngest is only two. I think it would be great. Imagine a husband and wife had the record. That'd be awesome.
It'd be crazy, right?
Yeah, it'd be great. I've taken that horse to water. She expressed interest, but force it. Because you got to want it. If you don't really want it, you're never going to make it. It's so miserable and it's so painful and it's so fatiguing and exhausting. Unless you really want it, it's not going to happen. So yeah, I can't. I've done what I can with Caroline, so it's over to her now. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, the parenting thing's quite hard though, isn't it? Because at the moment, for me personally, I'm training for a marathon and I've got my eye on things, the UTMB and Mont Blanc and further down the line. And my wife also is starting to run again. But we've got young kids as well. We've got two 17-month-old twins and a 3-year-old toddler. So it's hard to manage the realities of wanting to push your own boundaries and your own limitations towards also wanting to be an active parent and a good parent. And that, for me personally, that's something I'm always toying with, the idea of how do I push myself to my own limits, but equally, how do I maintain my commitment to others?
Yeah, there's actually a really easy answer to that, is just get rid of your TV. If you get rid of your TV, you'll have nothing to do in the evening, so you'll train. Or, which is what I do, I get up at 5 a.m. and train until 7. So the kids are still asleep, everyone's still asleep, doesn't affect anyone, actually. I get my training out of the way in the morning, and then I go to bed we're in bed at 8:45, and we probably go to bed at 9:15, and I'm up, so I get my 8 hours anyway. But the sacrifice, and it is a big one, is Caroline and I very rarely have time together by ourselves without the kids, which is important, is really important. Now, when we're going to bed at 9, they're going to bed at 8. So we get a little bit of time there, but not a lot, really. So, yeah, so that's, but that fixed that. 2 hours a day is a lot of training. Like, you can get Iron Man fit with 2 hours a day, 100%. Yeah. So that would be for those people who are struggling from a time management point of view. Now, it's hard when you've got twins because you're up all night as well. And actually, we're still up all night with ours, but yeah. I can manage that. If I'm asleep before 9:30, I can get up at 5 and not feel tired and get a couple of hours in. And then it doesn't affect anyone else. So it's great because I prefer training in the morning. Some people would maybe prefer to do it because I have a couple of friends. They put their kids to bed at sort of 7:30 or 8 and then they go training. But for me, that doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, I can't do it. I'm a morning person when it comes to training. Get out of the way and then you've got the rest of the day. And also for me, I like the way it sets you up from a mindset perspective. I'm a lot more positive and happier if I've trained before I start work rather than leave it to the end of the day. But I guess that mindset, the building of resilience, if you're looking back on all these crazy, extraordinary journeys and goals and achievements that you've been through, what have you learned from that process that you would impart on others at this point in time?
I think don't be in a rush. That's a big one. I think resilience comes with time, with baby steps. I think you can go into stuff, you can jump the gun and go into something really difficult. And you may do well, you may achieve it, and then that builds your resilience. But then you may have just got lucky on that day, and then you try something else again, and then you don't make it, and then you don't have that strong base level. If you want to get into ultra running properly, most people could go and run 50K, really. It might hurt, and they might, depending on the terrain and that sort of thing. But if you want to do it injury-free and still feel fine and be competitive, you really want to be training for months and months to build up that fascia strength and the tendon strength and ligament strength and all that sort of, and technique. So yeah, I think baby steps is a big one. People are in a rush a little bit too much, and I definitely fall foul of that quite a lot. And then just do hard stuff. This morning I woke up, I did Joe Wicks because I like doing Joe Wicks every morning. And then I went for an ice bath, which was miserable after the Joe Wicks. And then I went for a run. And the Joe Wicks was fun and the run was fun. The ice bath was miserable, but that added a little bit of resilience to my life. There's actually some science. If you look into, if there's something you don't want to do and you decide to do it, there's a part of your brain that actually gets activated, and you can build that as a strength. So it's tiny things. Like if your alarm goes off and you're lying there, you go, oh, I don't want to get up. If you get up, it triggers this part of your brain and it makes that, I don't know what to call it, but Andrew Huberman talks about it. If you then do it, you've overcome that little thought process. So yeah, you try and do lots of things where you're really not up for it. And again, that could be, it's just decision-making. So it's, oh, I don't want to wash the dishes tonight. If you then go and wash the dishes, you've exercised that part of your brain. So yeah, I would recommend that as well.
Whenever your brain is telling you not to do something, in the vast majority of cases, obviously there's some exceptions to this, but in the vast majority of cases, it's actually there to be done. I'm a bit obsessed when it comes to challenge and how it can lead to change. And very rarely do we really see situations whereby, unless we face really hard challenges, do we truly learn and develop as individuals. And I think that whether it be some audacious goal that you set yourself, I guess it's more so being willing to take the longer route rather than, as you say, this desire for quick wins and the short-termism, the ability to take the longer path to real achievement. At the moment, my first marathon will be in Edinburgh in a couple of months' time. And my goal is I want to run under 3 hours for my first marathon, which I think is achievable. I'm on mark now. To some people, like, what are you doing? But to me, I'm like, it's not about the marathon. It's not about the raising money for the charity that I'm running for. It's about seeing what I'm capable of. And I look at people's journeys, and it's that whole interjection piece that, again, people like Andrew Huberman talk about. That's the beauty of social media now. You can look and take inspiration of others, but then drive that action within your own life. And that's what I'm really motivated by. It's not necessarily the scale of the goal, but the ability to just say, let's see how far I can go with this.
Yeah, I think if I ever became the King of Wales, I'd make it mandatory for everyone to have some sort of goal that they need to chase in life, a physical goal within their means. whatever that is personal to themselves. I'm sure there's a means testing. If I went, oh, my goal's a 5K, the system would be like, no, it's too easy. You have to choose something harder. Yeah, I think it's super important. Yeah, definitely.
Why do you think it's super important then in respect to chasing a physical goal?
Now, I have beef with the internet sometimes because if you want to lead at the moment, if you want to lead a healthier life, oh my word, is the internet full of... Honestly, you have to... Oh, you need magnesium, L-theanate, you need apigenin, you need 11 minutes of cold exposure, you need 22.7 minutes of hot exposure, you need sunlight in the eyeball within 90 minutes of waking up, you need caffeine only 2 hours after waking, you need to be grounded on the floor, you have to walk your barefoot in the grass for 27.2 minutes, you have to sleep upside down facing north. Oh my God, it's complicated, right? I can't be the only person in the world to think this. It's too much. It's too much of all this little thing. For me, simple. Three things. One, eat healthier. We all know what that is. Yes, you can go into the micros and macros if you really want to, but come on, there's loads of stuff we know we shouldn't be eating that we eat. Don't eat those. And there's loads of stuff we know we should be eating that we're not eating. Eat those, right? Get fitter. Whatever that is, just go up. Get fitter. Everyone, get fitter. And third, spend more time outside. Whatever that is. Work it out. You'll be surprised how much time you spend inside. I spend a lot of time inside, and my job is to do stuff outside. And I wish I spent more time outside. And if you do those three things, you feel better. 100%. Now, if you have a physical goal, those three things definitely just come as a byproduct. You mostly eat healthier, you definitely get fitter, and you spend more time outside. And I guarantee you, your life will just be better. You'll think better, you'll be in a better mood, all that sort of thing. Yeah, I'm just trying to simplify it because it's just so much complicated stuff out there.
It's quite commercialized in certain aspects. There's certain types of drinks you can have, there's certain types of protein shakes, and throw into the mix the importance of sleep. When you were doing the 105 days, part of the routine, I'd imagine, that you were trying to achieve was finish by a certain time so you can get sufficient rest.
Yeah, totally. And so around day late 20s or 30, I made the bold decision to get rid of my daily physio because having that daily physio meant I wasn't getting 8 hours sleep. And I chose sleep over physio, which was bold because the previous record holder did physio every day for hours. I've listened to his podcast. He said he was doing 3 hours of physio a day, which is incredible. I just thought I just need sleep. And as soon as I started sleeping, you can look at the times on my website. You can see a noticeable increase in my speed. As soon as I got that hour extra sleep, I was 15 minutes quicker, which allowed me to stay 15 minutes quicker for months, really, definitely a whole month, 30 to 60 something. I was pretty quick. So yeah, so sleep was definitely high on the old agenda. Because if you're too slow, you don't recover enough. So then the next day you're even slower. And even if it's by a minute, you land up on this downhill spiral, right? And eventually you time out. So yeah, it was super important for me to be quicker than 14 hours, basically, was the goal.
I remember reading somewhere that you sold your share of your business for, was it a pound or something, to your business partner to get out?
Yeah.
I guess the question is, looking back, what did it feel back at that particular point, knowing that you'd sold a business for a pound but got back your freedom? And I guess looking at who you are today, what have you learned from this process?
Selling the business for me was an only option. I was so miserable doing it. I really couldn't see a future in me doing that. So it was quite easy for me to actually get out. Everyone says, oh, I can't believe you did it. I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. I didn't have a mortgage. I had no commitments. However, I also had no money. Now, I'm not a big advocate of just doing what I did because I don't think it's for everyone because, yeah, it could have ended badly. I did have a parent. My mother lives in the UK, so I could have moved back there. That would have been a potential. So I did have a fallback of my mum, and I did land up living with my mum after I cycled around the world just to try and get on my feet. So at least I had that fallback. But really, it was difficult being all of a sudden 30 years old with no money, no savings. I didn't go to university. I don't have A-levels. And I didn't want to do the only thing I knew, which was photography. So that was a bit scary. But what it did is it just forced me to think outside the box. Necessity is the mother of all invention, right? So I need to go and do something. I want to do something that challenges me. I want to see the world, because I'd always dreamt of being this National Geographic photographer. And I thought, let me just try and break some sort of record. So that was me thinking outside the box, and it's worked out quite well in the end. It could have not worked out. I don't know what would have happened. There's so many. I'm still sitting here today and I'm able to do this full time, and I've written 7 books. I've got 3 documentaries on Amazon. If I hadn't had the success, I wouldn't have got to do those things, which have been quite a nice byproduct. But all along the way, there's been failures, which could have resulted in the end of me doing this as a job. And I don't really know what I would have done. I would have, no doubt, I would have done something. I would have been resilient and resourceful enough to think of something, but I don't know what that is. And I'm glad I haven't had to make that decision, because life's pretty good, even though it's mostly miserable, but it's pretty good.
It's often nice just to follow the path. It seems to me that the journey that you've been on, this doesn't look as a plan B. So I think the premise of overcoming any form of resilience comes down to the various different challenges and obstacles that we face.
Yeah, totally. And you've got to want it, though. You've got to just want to put yourself in that position. You've got to realize what it's going to be. What are the things that... what are the hardships you're going to overcome choosing a specific goal? It could be time, could be money, could be physical pain, mental stress, all that sort of thing. Is it worth it? What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? And you just got to write those all down. And for me, I love it. The terrier needs to chase things. It's a no-brainer for me. I don't even have to really question it now. And I live in the moment, yes, but I do have lots of ideas and I have a plan. I have a 10, 20-year plan of things, because at some point I'm not going to be able to do the physical stuff. So I've got other ideas that will hopefully satisfy the terrier, but it's hypothetical at the moment. But so yeah, watch your space. Midlife crisis part 2 might happen in about 5 years' time.
Looking back at all the challenges that you've managed to achieve, what are the standouts for you apart from the 105 iron distance triathlons?
They're all standout, because I wouldn't do them if they weren't. If I knew they could be achieved, I wouldn't do it. Cycling's the most fun, because you travel great distances. It's cheap to do. It's pain-free, mostly. Swimming's the most rewarding, because it's miserable, but it's very few people do it. And it's really probably the most challenging, especially if it's cold. But then the multi-discipline stuff has a whole new element, because you've got 3 elements of training. You've got to train 3 times. You've got to get almost just as fit in all 3 disciplines as someone doing just one of them. And I like that. I like having that challenge on board. So yeah, it's difficult for me to choose my favorite child, if I'm honest. So I'm not going to sit on the fence on this one.
And looking at wider lessons and philosophies that you've understood and learned from these past couple of years, what would the key ones be for those?
Yeah, I touched on it earlier. Just don't be in a rush. Build the foundation. Write down. I'm very visual, so I'm writing things down. What are your goals? Choose something physical. I think it's super important that we have a physical goal in life. I think it's important that we have long-term goals as well. So for example, every year I run my age and distance in kilometers. So I'm 43 in April. I'll run 43K on my birthday. And I love the fact that's just a super long-term goal. Like, when am I going to end? Like, at what age will I not be able to do it? And at what age will I then have to do it on a bicycle? And I like that. I think it's important to have goals that take 10 years. If you want to run an ultra marathon or 100 mile, if you want, you can try and plan it for next year. And if you have the time and energy, it's great. But also, then what happens after the 100? Is it a 200? Is it running across a country? I don't know what it is. What is it? Have something like really bonkers to think about. I think I get excited about that sort of stuff. So maybe that's not normal for people. But yeah, just have those long-term goals, put in the foundation, do the baby steps. Don't try and rush progress too soon. And then also just find your clan of people to support you moving forward in that as well.
Looking at audacious goals, what do you envisage, or what have you got in your head at the moment in respect to what's the next adventure?
Oh, loads, but they're top secret. Yeah, I got ideas, and I don't release them really until they're ready to go, because there's a lot of spinning plates for these sort of things with funding and crew and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, we'll see. There's some that haven't worked out that no one's heard about or even known that I had wanted to do, because it just hasn't come together from usually sponsorship and crew point of view. But that's just the game. That's sport, right? You've got to put it out there and see if anyone's interested in it. They weren't hard enough, if I'm honest. There was things I thought were cool and interesting. that there was no real world record to them. So that's why they never took off. But yeah, I got some ideas. Just not for the next... I think my wife won't divorce me if I try something. And also, I don't want to. I want to be a dad while the kids are young. Once they're off at school a bit more full time, then I'll think about doing something else big. But for now, yeah, I'm happy just to do the youth sports stuff, which is my main focus at the moment. So that's what I'm doing.
Amazing. I could talk to you all day. I've really appreciated the opportunity to chat to you. Just to close out, what would your key thoughts and takeaways be for our audience listening in today?
Choose a goal. Just go, whatever it is. It must be difficult for you. Whatever you think's unachievable, or whatever you think you could maybe do, or if you wanted to do, but it might take a lot of hard work. And it doesn't have to be physical. It might be learning French. Whatever. It's super important. I'm going to keep banging on about it because I think it's important that we all have some physical goal to chase. And chase is the important word there, because I think if you know you can do it, it's not a chase. So yeah, find something to chase, everyone. That's my advice.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Nice one, mate. Thanks very much for having me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.